I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I was lucky enough for PwC to look beyond my grades and see me for a human that I am. With, you know, life experience, I've been traveling and, you know, had these illnesses and overcome them and still got to where I was. And, you know, still there, sort of, you know, really, really wanting to push ahead with a good career. And PwC is the first stop.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking with John Russell, financial advisor and property investor. He delves into all he's packed into his young life so far, the good, the bad, and the settlement of over $100 million in property. While he's forged ahead in his property career in leaps and bounds, his inspiring tales don't end there. Russell bounced around, literally, between different careers before settling on property.
I come from probably a non-traditionalist background for property. So I come from an accounting background with a Bachelor of Business in Accounting. I actually worked for PricewaterhouseCoopers straight out of uni, and then got involved in financial controller type work for Fully Trampoline. I'm not sure whether you've heard of Fully Trampolines before. Big trampoline company. Yeah. And from there, I actually wanted a bit of a change of scenery. I had some health issues and all that sort of stuff. Had some brain surgery, so wanted a change of scenery and got into residential real estate, which is great. So that sort of went on for about 3 years. And then I really wanted to, you know, round back and utilize my residential real estate experience along with my, I guess, accounting background. And that led me to financial planning. I was an advisor for about 3 or 4 years. And, you know, just sort of, I guess, not so recently, but recently enough, made the full decision to really focus on property as an investment class.
When he's not in the office for a client meeting, he typically spends his days out on property sites.
So I'll be meeting with property aggregators, developers, seeing new stock, seeing future stock to the market, online using research tools. If I've got client appointments, I'm in the office preparing research packs for them, property presentations for them, and really doing the financial analysis and research behind those properties. So that's probably it in 60 seconds. So it really depends on whether I've got a client appointment or if I don't have a client appointment.
Let's lead into your story and getting to know you personally. Share some interesting facts about your past. Firstly, where did you grow up?
Yes, so I was born in Canberra. Don't hold that against me. I moved to, I love to all the Canberrans out there. I moved to Brisbane when I was five and started to grade one up here and lived in Carindale, a suburb on the south of Brisbane. Spent the last 30 years of my life up here, which has been great. It was actually my father who had got a really lucrative sort of contract offer in his sort of space where he works, in IT development to come up and work up in Brisbane. So it worked out well.
Life has thrown him a loop for several times, but each time he overcomes his challenges to come back stronger than ever.
So I would have started primary school in 1994 at Belmont State School. It's a nice little school, quite well known. There's a few Olympians and that has gone there from memory. And then from there, I started at the Anglican Church Grammar School, or Churchy, as it's better known, in grade 8, and went through all the way through to grade 12. And then the following year, I was at QUT, so the Queensland University of Technology, and studying semi-hard there, I guess. So I studied a Bachelor of Business in Accounting. The experience is really good. I did love the uni. I got diagnosed with cancer when I was 19, so it was my first year out, actually, of high school, first year at uni. So I was in and out of hospital for chemo and whatnot for the majority of that year, and didn't really go back full time until the second year. So it did take me a little bit longer to finish. So it took 4 years for me in the end to finish a 3-year degree, but got there in the end.
That's amazing to be able to hear an inspiring story, you know, especially going through that. That must have been such a tough time for you, especially at a young age of 19. So what was happening during that time? Because the whole year, you know, to go through chemo, to treat the cancer and so forth, what was going through your head? Because it would have been quite a challenge, I'd say.
I reflect on it occasionally with my wife, and it's one of those things that... you know, looking back now on it, I'm glad that I don't have to do it now. But back then, living at home, it seemed like it was a roadblock. If that makes sense, it's sort of just something that I needed to get through. I was pretty focused on basketball, and sort of due to you know, really, I guess, you know, do other things in and around basketball. Sort of the height of my career, and that sort of put a nice big halt to that. So yeah, it really put things into perspective for me, particularly around, you know, the importance of family and friends, and having a support network around you. Which has stuck with me all this while.
Yeah, that's so important. How did you find out that you had cancer, if I may ask?
I woke up one Saturday morning. I was still living at my parents' home at that point. I woke up and I felt this massive, massive tumor in my neck, actually. And it happened pretty quick. The tumor is 5 by 3 centimetres, so... If anyone out there is sort of, if they know enough about cancer and tumours, I know that that's a pretty large tumour, particularly to have in the neck. So it sort of stuck out like a, you know, second head type thing. So I noticed that pretty quickly. But yeah, funnily enough, it took quite a while to diagnose exactly what it was. Ended up. With the diagnosis of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Technically, it's called diffuse large B-cell non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is the curable kind. It's fast enough growing for chemotherapy to work. So that was, it was, I guess, a bit of a shining light, I guess, in all of it, was that it was curable. So you can reflect back on things, and that's one thing that I'm always grateful for, is that I can reflect back and just think, hey, it could have been a lot worse.
Wow, that's crazy. So I guess, did you notice that before that day on the Saturday, or did it just all suddenly just pop up?
No, that was that Saturday morning. I went downstairs. I'm the feeling it, and I just went up to my sister-in-law at the time, and I said, "What do you think?" And showed my dad, and said, "What do you think?" And he said, "You need to go see a doctor." So I pretty much booked in straight away, and next thing you know, I was there.
Wow! So that was a life-changing moment. That everything just completely changed into, you know, the focus to try and get that out as quick as possible.
I actually grew up with Tourette syndrome, so having that there is honestly a bit of a punch in the face. But I thought I'd had my sort of fair share of medical stuff, but look, it worked out. And at the end of the day, I'm no more likely to get that sort of type of cancer than anyone else is.
After taking some time to recover and reflect, he was accepted into a prestigious graduate program at PricewaterhouseCoopers.
It's a pretty intensive sort of graduate program that I was in. And that sort of, it really reaffirmed that I didn't really enjoy tax. I certainly know a lot about tax, and I know what to do, and you know, all that sort of stuff, and I know how to help clients when it comes to tax. But did I want to be doing tax returns for the rest of my life or financial statements? No, absolutely not. But it was a great introduction to learning the ins and outs of business and of personal wealth as well. I was lucky enough for PwC to look beyond my grades and see me for a human that I am, with, you know, life experience. I've been traveling and, you know, had these illnesses and overcome them and still got to where I was. And, you know, still there, sort of, you know, really, really wanting to push ahead with a good career. And PwC is the first stop. I basically wanted to utilize that experience to, like you said, it is one of those sort of sought after type programs. So I think coming out of that, you do have quite a few commercial accountant opportunities available to you. That seems to be the case when people, you know, sort of duck out from big four accounting firms. So I had the opportunity to start with Vully just as an accountant initially. Worked my way up there pretty quickly, which was really fun, really, really stressful. And I probably put on about 20 kilos that I shouldn't have at that time, which I've since lost.
Gosh. So that experience working in accounting, what were you doing there?
So I went from doing tax returns, obviously, for individuals and companies and trusts, to really, I guess, to managing budgets and forecasts for a startup, you know, company at that point. This is a long time ago, 7 odd years ago, 8 years ago, and really managing that side of things for a company that went from, you know, $20 million, you know, turnover a year to about $100 million while I was there. So it was certainly stressful, but I got insight into seeing, you know, a startup company. I got insight into, you know, how companies really work and how they grow. It was a really, really learning filled time in my life in terms of the real life knowledge that you can really get. There's only so much books can teach you, and that was like they say, getting thrown in the deep end is the only way to learn. That was getting thrown in the middle of the Pacific with no life vest or anything. It was definitely sink or swim.
Coming up after the break, he shares more about his time at Vully and what it taught him.
running $100,000 to $200,000 a day sort of cash flows in and out on a shoestring budget, really, at that point, was pretty intimidating, but also it made you pretty patient, but also aware of, you're forced to be aware of what's going on.
What got him interested in real estate and how quickly it all happened?
At that point, I decided I wanted to get into real estate and see, try my hand at it, try my luck. And from there, I was forced to hop up and talk about myself. And
he shares the advice he has for everybody, but especially for young adults.
I think the mistakes that you've got to look at is you are always making a trade-off. There's always a sacrifice in terms of what you're doing. If you're going out and having a good time, if you're spending a heap of money on nice clothes, nice cars, things like that, there's always going to be a trade-off.
And that's next. I'm Tyron Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, property investor, is your cash or equity currently earning you 1 to 2% per annum sitting in the bank? What if I said to you that you can do better? To find out more, simply register your interest to become a money partner at propertyinvestory.com. Right now, there are great opportunities in the property market, and I'm looking for money partners who want to invest to get a high return with low risk on their money for 6 months. Register your interest by visiting propertyinvestory.com. Russell can only describe Woolies' CEO as having a ridiculous drive and leadership ability.
While he, might be years and years younger than, what Steve Jobs would have been now, he's someone with that sort of drive and that sort of creativity and that sort of leadership ability. You either sort of love him or hate him type thing. I really sort of learnt a lot from him. It wasn't that he necessarily asked questions and expected you to sort of come up with the goods on the spot or anything like that. It was some of the tasks that he asked you to do were, next to impossible, but you couldn't say no because There's always a way. There's always a way around these things. It's just about sitting down and figuring it out. So he did instill patience into me, which is great. And probably the other thing is with a business startup, whatever established, whatever it is, cash flow is king. Running $100,000 to $200,000 a day sort of cash flows in and out on a shoestring budget, really, at that point, was pretty intimidating, but also it made you pretty patient, but also aware of you're forced to be aware of what's going on.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about that business. Like, what exactly did the business offer in terms of its products and services?
Woolies is well known for its spring-free type trampolines and their sort of home like outdoorsy sort of playground stuff. So my brother and sister-in-law have a Woolies trampoline out the back with a basketball ring installed and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, you can put up tents and camp in them in the backyard. They're certainly very popular. Very popular in Queensland, that's for sure. It's been a long journey for Joe and their team. I obviously left a long time ago now, but the company has grown and morphed and changed along the way, which is it's been great to see.
After 18 months at Woolies, He took stock of his life and realized there was one more thing he needed to check off his to-do list.
I actually decided, again, I hopefully don't want to stay on the medical side of things for too long, but I decided to get, corrective surgery for my Tourette's, brain surgery, which is called deep brain stimulation. So that has essentially fixed my Tourette's, which is great. And I needed some time off, for that. So I basically came to an agreement with Joe that I'd finish up. And after that, I obviously have a recovery period from surgery. And then I decided after that I just wanted something completely different, in my life in terms of my future, where I was going and all that sort of stuff, climbing a corporate ladder, and whatnot inside a firm with an accounting base, and that being my base wasn't necessarily something that, I felt like was going to be my passion moving forward. And I don't use the word passion lightly. I definitely am in this position now because I do have a big passion for property.
Once Russell discovered property was what he wanted to do in his life, he didn't hold back. He signed up to attend a careers night at LJ Hooker, and the rest, as they say, is history.
At that point, I decided I wanted to get into real estate and see, try my hand at it, try my luck. And from there, I was forced to hop up and, talk about myself and all the usual sorts of things that they get you to do on careers nights and all that sort of stuff. And one of the sales executives came up to me, and he was from Sydney at the time, and he said, "Mate, I reckon you'll kill it. Let's get you started. When can you start, sort of thing?" And I said, "Whenever." I had to do my real estate course. At that point, it was just a salesperson certificate. Obviously, a licensed agent now, but did the salesperson certificate and got started listing and selling, which was great.
After that, he searched for a real estate mentor and found one in Deborah Evans, the principal and number four all-time for RE/MAX.
She was fantastic. So she sort of really taught me the ropes in and around property. I felt very confident after sort of spending a bit of time with her that I was very good on the property side of things. But I got to the point where I really wanted to utilize my knowledge in its full sort of full breadth. So I ended up literally just but for a purpose, I studied my diploma of financial planning. And I knocked that off in a couple of weeks. I enrolled I applied for a job at Spring Financial Group at the time. They're a listed financial advice company. And that their advice was heavily based on property as well. Self-managed super funds, personal investment advice, all that sort of stuff. So from my point of view, it was a great fit. I understood people's finances. I understood wealth like nothing else. And I also understood real estate and the value of good real estate. So it came together. I got that job. That was a pretty sought-after role at the time as well, to land that job up here. So it was good. Went to Sydney for a bit for training. I think I was there for a month, and came back up to work in the office up here. And I was probably there for a couple of years.
After seeing so many amazing properties daily, he found one that was perfect for him. And in true Russell style, he went straight for it.
Doing the numbers myself on all of all of these amazing properties that that we do sell to clients. I found one myself that I loved, and yeah, dug head first. I'd been through the process so many times with clients at that point that I sort of knew what to expect. So it was very different to someone fresh faced, coming into it for the first time. I knew what to expect. I knew there was conveyancing lawyers. I knew that there was this and that, and I sort of knew the process. To be able to utilize that, I think it really took the pressure off.
That first property he purchased was a unit in Brisbane. Since then, he's become a rent investor, and he and his wife was looking to buy a home together in the same region.
At this point, it's different because it's not about the numbers. It's about the future. So we want to think, what are we going to do, long term? We're going to sit here for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. We've really thought about it for a long time, and we want that 30 year journey for something that we can grow in and out of. If we decide to have children and beyond, all that sort of stuff.
His one big lesson he wants to teach is one every young person needs to hear.
Probably for me and for everyone out there, I mentioned this recently to someone else. I personally think credit card debt is the devil. So people nowadays, I can see, use Afterpay and ZipPay and those sort of tools and whatnot. I get that. I understand. The reality in today's world. I just think these days living within your means it can be a little bit difficult because we live in this age where Instagram's a thing and people want to be, they want photos with a Corona at the nicest bar in town. That Corona comes at a price, and I think the mistakes that you've got to look at is you are always making a trade-off. There's always a sacrifice in terms of what you're doing. If you're going out and having a good time, if you're spending a heap of money on nice clothes, nice cars, things like that, there's always going to be a trade-off, and that's going to be that's typically going to be the trade-off between getting into a property earlier or later. And the consequence there obviously is getting into a property earlier that appreciates in value. And typically, if you can get in earlier, you get in at a lower price point as well. So you've got all these factors at play that really, I guess, push you in this direction to go, I've got a life. I know everyone has to live, but sometimes you have to put your sensible cap on and go, this pay, I'm going to save 10%. So I'm a big believer in the superannuation system, obviously, but I'm also a big believer in saving at least 10% of your salary, 10 to 20% of your salary, or your earnings, profits, whatever it might be, to put aside into a kitty and have that stashed away for growth purposes, to invest either in property, whatever it is you're going to do. It's just going to be used to grow your wealth over time.
John Russell's story continues in the next episode of Property Investory. We'll hear about some of the best compliments he's received and what they did for him.
And also a phone call I had recently with another client where he sort of turned around to me and said, look, everything that you have told me and everything that you've said, I have to say, has turned out better than what you said and what we could have imagined.
The mindset that shifted him towards property.
It's really interesting when you're sitting in front of clients, and I'm sure you've done this. I'm sure people listening have actually had this conversation before. But to be quite frank, quite simplistic about it, you've got a few options.
He shares how much of the unique way he communicates with his clients comes from and how much he learned from one of his mentors.
Probably not necessarily the way I deal with clients. That's very, very much me. I've got my own sort of unique way of how I deal with clients.
And that's next time on Property Investory. And if you love the show and are ready to get serious about investing your money to get a low risk, high return, then SMS me your name and email address on 0499881040 to become a money partner. Right now, there are great opportunities in the property market, and I'm looking for money partners who want to invest their money for a short 6 months. To register interest, text me your name and email address on 0499881040.